Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
And welcome. So we are here to teach you that your pricing needs a bitch slap. So I am Suzanne DeWire. I'm here with Paige Brown. And what we're going to do here today is we're not going to do what you would typically see with a lot of speaking. We're actually going to be teaching you some stuff. So if you don't have a pen and paper yet, make sure to grab something because we're going to teach you some things that you can do to start restructuring your pricing in this entire talk. So get ready. We're going to teach you some stuff.
Yes.
Go for it.
So what we want to first highlight is that pricing is not a strategy problem. It's an identity problem. When you're sitting there trying to constantly wait for your best strategy, it's never going to come to you because what you're actually looking for is permission to do something. And it's not your fault. It's just that we've been conditioned by gurus on the stages, people like Tony Robbins, Dean Graziosi, Grant Cardone, those types of people, in order to say, oh, I need permission to do this thing or this object or this plan or whatever, right? And it's because they're telling us like, oh, do this one thing and you're going to be successful. Do this one method and you're going to be successful. And the same thing works with pricing. Because what ends up happening is that I've personally seen Tony Robbins speak a lot of times. And what one of his big things, and I'm sure some of you are very familiar with this, is that he does, he always says, under promise and over deliver, right? So when he does this, what ends up happening is we end up reaching burnout, right? So what ends up happening is you're pricing yourself then for what you're promising your audience and then not pricing for what you're actually delivering on, which means that you are showing up in excessive ways and then you're also then burning out because you're not paying yourself what you actually are doing the work for. If you're actually charging them for 2 hours of work, but you're showing up for six, you are over hyper delivering and then you're going to hit burnout. You're going to hit a brick wall and it's not fair to you. And then what ends up happening is that your passion, the thing that you really show up and you want to do, starts to build resentment for you. And then you're just constantly sitting there going like, but I want to still serve. I want to still show up, but I'm just not getting the money that I actually deserve. And that really does lead into really how we posture ourselves and how we frame our offers.
Right. Because when you're in here in this mindset of I have to give, I have to give, I have to give. Yes, there is a portion of giving in what it is that you do, but giving should not be something that is active constantly. It should be something that is passive. It should be something that's semi-active. But when you're giving, you can't be over giving all the time, because then what happens is that you have all of these offers. Nobody really understands what you're doing. You have like 11,000 things that you're saying, hey, I do this, but I also do this, but I also do this, but I also do this. And it confuses your audience. So what happens at that point is that no one knows what to come to you for. So you've got all of these people talking at you and telling you, okay, so make sure to over deliver, make sure to give this, make sure to give that. And this is where you start really building in other people's blueprints, right? You start building other people's shit. It's not yours anymore. Which means like your authenticity isn't coming through, your connection, your passion, the closeness that you want to have with your clientele just doesn't show up in that way, because what you're doing is you're mimicking somebody else. You're not being able to just be yourself. So when you're really talking about your offers, you have to be really clear that it shouldn't be like a bazillion one things. You should have three. Very simple, very basic. That should be your intro offer, your signature offer, and your outro offer. That's it. Very simple. Those three, okay? Now, when we say this, we're not saying like, you know, this is a value ladder because, okay? We don't do that. This is not what we do here. What we're talking to you about is your intro offer should be the way that people can spend a little bit of money with you, but really create a relationship. This is the relationship building space. You want people to come in, really get to know you, get to trust you, get to understand who you are and what it is that you actually do. Okay. It's not a space for you to say, oh, well, you're here. And then you can ramp up to here. And then you can ramp up to here. We don't do that shit. Okay. So once you're done in that like intro space, then you go into like this whole signature offer. Your signature offer should be the thing that you are known for. The one fucking thing. that you're known for. Okay, one thing and one thing only. This should be very simple. This should be very clear. It should be very precise. This shouldn't be, oh, well, I can do this and I can do this and I can do this. Yes, you can do all of those things. But the fact is that you have to explain what it is that you do in a way that people are going to understand it. So a signature offer gives you exactly that. Then your outro offer is like in the, on their way out the door. Okay, because especially in coaching, it's not a perpetual space. You're not supposed to be working with clients forever. Please understand that, okay? The coaching container should never ever be years, okay? So we, I mean, we've heard it before where we heard a coach say, "Oh, typically people are in my coaching container for 9 years." We're like, "Ugh, vomit. That's disgusting. Why? Why are they in there so long?" Because that should never be the
No.
case, right? Should never ever be the case. When you're coaching somebody, your whole mission is to get them from the place where they're stuck to then stepping into the leader that they truly are within themselves. That's our job. That's our mission. That's what we are here to do. Which means that all of the other crap that out that you're out there being taught of just keep them in your perpetual cycles, like all these other people typically do, is actually working against you. You're creating codependency. Right. So your outro offer really needs to be more about getting clear on what is the next steps. How are you helping them transition? How can you stay in touch with them to continue to celebrate them, to continue to boost them, and to continue to give them extra resources as they need them as they continue to grow? Right. Because at that point, you're basically watching your kids graduate from high school, going into college. You got to let them do their thing. Okay. So that's where that outro offer comes in. So those three offers should be the main offers that you have. When everybody knows you, then you can start kind of building spin-off things from there, but it's only supposed to be off of that. So don't just create a bunch of different things and say, "Oh, well, these are all of my offers." Gets confusing for people. And you never want to be doing that because when we're talking about pricing, that's where people get stuck, is they'll price all over the place because they have too much shit, right?
Yes, exactly. So this is the part where you want to break out a notebook, you want to start taking some notes because this is the stuff that's going to be really key for you to actually help in your pricing and getting more aligned in your pricing and what actually feels good to you, because pricing in itself should come from you only, okay? So we want you to throw out all these these ideas of the market value pricing, right? Everybody, you've all heard it, right? The 297. Everything sells if it has a 7 at the end, if it's not the round number, right? It's like 297 sells better than 300. It's $3 difference, okay? Price it whatever the fuck way you want to price it, okay? We price all of ours with angel numbers. We love angel numbers, So if it's like 777, it sells just the same. It doesn't matter. Your clients don't know. Like, they are buying the thing that you are creating because it gets them the results, regardless of what the pricing is. And it won't sell unless it feels aligned to you. Okay. So there's two questions that we're going to start you with so that you can start taking these notes on, which is, how much money do you actually need to be earning in your life right now? Right. So if you're looking at just life in general, like, how much do you need to be making? And we want you to start with the monthly, and then we want you to go look at yearly, right? So, and then the second part of that is, how many hours do you want to be working, right? It's not about like, oh, well, if I'm making this, I need to be working this many hours. It's how many hours do you want to be working? Because everybody hits a threshold, right? So ideally, how much do you need to be making? And then how much do you actually want to be working? And there's no wrong answer here. We want to be very clear with that. Like, if you want to work 20 hours a week, you want to work 20 hours a week. If you want to work 60 hours a week, good on you. You can work 60 hours a week, but it really boils down to, what do you really want?
Exactly. And so like, when we're talking about your monthly income, the first thing I want you guys to really do, because this is not done in most businesses, is a cost analysis. Do you have any idea how much it costs you to run your business? Most people don't. Okay. We predominantly work with coaches and consultants, and we can say that most of the time when people come to us, they say, "Oh, well, I make this and I pay myself exactly the same amount." It's like, great. What about your expenses, right? Because every business has an expense, and it doesn't matter what kind of business you have expenses, whether that be something as simple as your cell phone and your internet service, or something as extensive as like, okay, you have massive systems, you have people to pay, you have all of these things that you have to take into consideration. But doing a cost analysis, that should be done constantly, right? So you should have a cost analysis that you're going to do now, and then you should be doing that every single quarter. Check into what have you signed up for, what are you using, what are the assets, how much is the things costing you? Because you have to know what the company is costing you to run on a regular basis to be able to know exactly what you need to be charging people. Okay, because if you're not charging the right amount and you're trying to pay yourself 100% of what you're making, you're already working against yourself. So you have to look at what are your monthly expenses in your company. Once you figure that out, then you can go into what Paige is talking about, which is getting into, how many hours do you want to work and how much do you want to actually do you want to be bringing home? Because the fact is that the amount that you need to bring home is not the amount you want to bring home, it's the amount that you need to bring home, right? But if you are not even barely covering your expenses in the company, then that's going to be difficult for you to hit the numbers that you want. And you might always feel like it's paycheck to paycheck, which we're not here to go back to work in a friggin' job, right? No one wants to be working a job. It's the reason why we're business owners, right? So that means that you have to be really conscious of that. There needs to be money staying in the company. There needs to be covering of all of your expenses. There should be really good savings set up to be able to handle that stuff. Then you are able to put yourself on a regular paycheck. So when you start going kind of through that, this is where the numbers are going to really start making sense. And this is where you can see where you can actually build wealth inside of your business, not just in your life, but in your business, you can start building wealth, which will allow you to grow and expand.
Yes. And so to really do a little bit deeper dive of the reason why we want you to look at these hours is because there's so many people that will tell you forever, like you should be working X amount of hours, right? So for most of us, we've come from a 9-to-5 background. We came from corporate America, then we decided we wanted freedom, right? And in doing that though, sometimes when we still pigeonhole ourselves and put us in a 40-hour work week, right? Or a 60-hour work week for some of us that, unfortunately we've had to deal with. So we sort of have this idea of like we should be doing these things, but it really needs to boil down to on what you want, right? Because again, to reiterate what I said at the beginning, pricing is identity. If you believe that you should be working this many hours, it's like, why do you feel like you should be doing that? Are you trying to owe it to somebody else? Are you trying to owe it to yourself, right? So start to look at those things. So, and then be honest, have that conversation. Like, I really only want to work 20 hours a week and be okay with it. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're lazy. There's no labeling that needs to go along with that. And if you find yourself labeling yourself in that, then you should explore that further for sure. But it's about when you're looking at your pricing, a very easy way to do this is to look at the need, like that we talked about at the beginning, what you need to be making, and then how many hours you want to be working. And that should be your baseline number to start. So if you ideally only want to be working 20 hours and you finally have that honest conversation with yourself, and then you have your, say, your needs, I only do round numbers because I can't do math, at $10,000 like a month maybe, and you only want to work 20 hours a week and you divide 20 by 10 into 10,000, that's your baseline number. That is like, I need to survive on this, okay? And I know that 10,000 is probably a little high for a lot of people, but again, round numbers. So if you have that, then that's the starting point, right? That gives you the launch point. But if that's literally just covering your bills and your business costs and your existence for your family, then again, it's just simply the launch point.
Exactly. And when you're also thinking about the hours that you want to work, you also have to make sure that you're taking admin time into consideration because there are things you have to do administratively that you are going to have to take care of. So you want to make sure you're like whittling out the time to do that. But remember, you have to be charging an appropriate enough price to be able to cover your admin time, right? So for example, if you're a coach, we're just going to use coaching because that's our forte, right? But if you are a coach, for example, and you're saying, okay, so I want to charge, say $1,000, right? So for that $1,000, you have to look at how many hours you're spending with that client. And everyone's going to say the same exact thing. Well, I only spend an hour a week with the client, but you don't. You actually spend on average 2 hours with that client because you have preparation before their call, preparation after their call. You have to fill out their notes. You have to schedule their next meetings. You have administrative tasks to do for said clients. Even if you're going jumping from call to call, you still have to catch up with them at some point. So you have to prepare yourself that you have to earmark an hour and a half to 2 hours per client per week. Okay, you can't say I'm only working with them for an hour because you're technically not, because you have to think of all the administrative tasks that you still need to do. So now this kind of comes into how many streams of revenue do you really want for yourself? Because let me tell you something. I love it when people are just like, I want all of the revenue. Like, well, doesn't, right? We all do. We all want extra revenue. But, how many streams of revenue do you actually want? Do you want two or three? We know that the golden number is between seven and nine streams. That's what we help our clients put together, is 7 to 9 streams. Because when you have 7 to 9 streams of revenue, you have a good combination of the three different types of revenue. So the three different types of revenue is active, semi-active, and passive. Now, those three areas is where you really want to look. Okay, active would be like one-on-one coaching. Semi-active would be like memberships and group programs and things along those lines. Passive, that would be the stuff that like you Ronco the shit out of it, right? That's it. You set it and forget it. You don't have to worry about it. It's running, it's doing its thing, and it's just making you money. Okay. Now, when you first start off on creating multiple streams of revenue, remember something, you are probably going to have more active streams than you will for passive streams. But eventually that should shift. Your passive streams should always be able to kind of jump forward and say, hey, passive streams should always bypass. Because when passive streams bypass, you're in a good space. Okay. That means that you're working less and you're making more. So think about how many streams of revenue would you actually want that to be? And then from there, once you figure out those streams, then you're able to figure out, okay, are they pulling their weight? Are they bringing me in the revenues that I'm hoping for? Are they hitting the mark for me, or are they leaving me kind of running short? So for example, let me think. If you're a writing coach, for example, you would be able to say, hey, okay, so we have this software that we use all the time. I have this workbook that I put together. I'm going to sell this workbook as an asset. Now that becomes something that's a passive stream because you've done the work once and then you can be out there just selling, 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 right? So you have that as a passive stream for yourself. If you can also do retreats. The retreat would be, okay, here's the retreat, here's the event that I'm going to be doing, but then here's these other things you're able to do after the event that goes into semi-active. So that could be, continuing to work with you in a group format. That could be, putting them into a program. There's a number of different things you can do there, but really the sky's the limit when you're looking at those things. You just need to make sure that they truly actually connect with what it is that you do. Okay, so don't say, I'm a writing coach. Oh, and by the way, I also sell trips to Italy. Okay? No, unless you're holding retreats in Italy for writing, that doesn't match up.
No. And so what you want to do is you actually want to map your offers, your streams to your signature, your intro and your main offer, or so outro offer, excuse me. So you want to make sure that those are matching, right? So again, just like Suzanne was saying, you don't want it to be where you are, a writing coach and you're selling trips to Italy, right? Because it's a conflict of interest. What you do want to do is you want to map out some passive streams of income, though, towards each one of your offers, because they all stand alone, but they all flow together, right? So say you are a writing coach and you want to, in your intro offer, because maybe you go through the mapping out of a journal and you want to actually attach a pin to it, a very specific pin that you have, and you have an affiliate program with that. And then maybe you also have the journal that goes with it and you sell it into that stream. That aligns with what not only what you're offering, but then it also gives you an additional stream of revenue in order to then boost your intro program. So I think you're seeing what we're doing here is like following along, keeping the theme going between your intro, your signature offer, and your outro offer, but then offering multiple streams in each one of those areas so that you can price it accordingly. This means then also, if you want to create a $50,000 revenue a month, you're not charging just $50,000 to do that. You could have multiple ways of getting to that $50,000 that maybe like not charge if $50,000 saying I have a $50,000 offer doesn't feel good to you, you could still have a $5,000 offer, but still be making $50,000 a month by capitalizing on these additional streams of revenues. So it's not just about when you're looking at trying to figure out your pricing, it's not just like, okay, this is the offer, this is the price I want to give it at, and this is how I'm going to get it. And it's, two steps, right? Just trying to do those things. Like, again, if you want to make $50,000 a month, okay, then I need to sell 10 or 5 programs at $10,000, right? Instead of doing that, you can have smaller offers that might feel more aligned to you, but still get you that $50,000 in revenue. So what you do then is you take back, going back to the beginning, a little bit repetitive, but just to instill this, is that what is that number that you need to be making? You know, how many hours are you willing to work? Because again, we want to avoid burnout. We don't want to hit a wall for anybody. So how many do you want to be working? And then taking into account the revenue streams that you're doing, right? And how you're going to be pricing those things. Because that is the number that you can stand behind. It feels more comfortable to you. If it feels amazing to say, I have a $50,000 offer, amazing. Then you're probably not going to want a $50,000 month, right? You're going to probably maybe want a $200,000 month, which is great. So it's also about what feels aligned to you. So taking these multiple streams of revenue, pairing it with your offer that feels seamless and not a stretch or not an outreach or anything like that, right? And then looking at what you need, what hours, amount of hours you want to do, and then also then looking at those streams of revenue. So that gets you the magic number that when you stand up and you go, this is what I have to offer, it feels fucking amazing, and you will not have a problem selling it because your audience will feel that power behind it.
Exactly. Because when the math is actually backing you up, it allows you to step into this new level of confidence. And when you're in that new level of confidence, now it's like the sky's the limit, because what happens in that moment is because you become a magnet to your clients. They are drawn into you. They cannot wait to get to know more about you. They are like, because they're feeling the energy you're putting out there. And when you step into that level of confidence, everyone around you feels that. Okay. So we're going to give you the equation. Okay, now get the pen and paper out. The equation is going to be, the very simple breakdown is, this is going to be your rate per hour that you're paying yourself right now. Okay, what you're paying yourself right now. You got to figure out how many hours are you working right now, currently. You're going to take the amount that you're paying yourself from that. Then from there, you want to minus your expenses. So figure out all your expenses, do your cost analysis, deduct that. Now, we're going to give you fair warning. You're not going to like the number, okay? Because most people don't. On average, we see people paying themselves under minimum wage on a regular basis. So we typically see anywhere between $12 and $30 an hour, sometimes less, that we actually pay ourselves because we're not doing the math. So before you just pick numbers out of the sky, make sure you do this math, okay? Then once you have figured that part out, figuring out the next step of how much do you actually want to be charging, how much do you need to be charging, and how much do you want to take home, how much money gets saved into the company, those numbers become much more relevant when you can see that you're paying yourself these really ridiculously low prices where you're like, crap, I was making this when I was working in like Burger King when I was a teenager kind of numbers, okay? You shouldn't be making that still, especially working for yourself, right? Because we have the opportunity to be a great boss or a shitty boss. Don't be the shitty boss to yourself.
Yeah. So what we want you guys to do is to take this, to look at this tonight, hopefully, and then also just really do some self-evaluation. Like, look at what you're pricing. Are you pricing out of fear that you're not going to get the client, or are you actually pricing in an empowered state, right? Because this is an identity issue at the heart of it, and it's time to start asking yourself those hard questions. So stop waiting for permission. Stop looking at the guru to tell you to do the thing, to check the box, to do the, you know, trust in your own intuition and your own gut, because you are the person that's going to be right. You are the person that actually knows exactly what you're doing and who you're serving. So it's time to show up for you and step into a pricing that feels really, really fucking amazing to you. Okay. So that is in for us. It was so fun to actually talk to you. Please come and find us at braingrenadeagency.com. We would love to help you with any questions or concerns or issues that you have. And it was great to talk to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, you are much better than clearance prices. Charge like Louis Vuitton.
Yes, absolutely. Because you deserve it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.